Good morning and welcome to the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business practices, ideas, and strategies while we enjoy our coffee break. And I am excited today. It's going to be a good one. My name is Chad Lingefeld from LockDock Security. Today, our guest is Levi Gray, multiple-time guest on the podcast, but he's also from LockDock Security, and we're going to get into more of what he's got to talk about today. But first, let's hear some of that smooth jazz.
So much to say, we got a podcast to make, we're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break, it's time for a coffee break, oh yeah.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Levi. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I've got some coffee, second cup this morning, ready to go.
This is my first cup, but yeah, I'm ready to go.
Well, we also have some gummy bears. I'm not really sure that gummy bears go with coffee very well, but
I'm not gonna test that theory.
I'm thinking we need some like maybe caramel, like some pecans or some candied pecans.
Yeah, or biscotti or something like that. That's really good.
That would be too crunchy. Anyway. At the end of last season, we're in season two, by the way. If this is your first time joining us on Facebook Live or you're listening on the audio version of the podcast, you can subscribe all over the place. But we've got a full season one, 20 episodes where Levi's on a couple of times, and you can go listen to all of that wonderful information. But during season one, Levi came to me and he said, hey, you should do some type of a random question, like an icebreaker type thing, when you get started. And so I said, yeah, that'd be an awesome idea. I like it. So you get to be a guinea pig in this process, because we tested it out last week. It worked out pretty well, and now we get to try your own idea on you.
Awesome.
How about that?
I'm anxious.
All right, five questions. You just have to answer it as quick as you can with the first thing that comes to your mind. Name a word that starts with the letter Q.
Quintessential.
Does that start with letter Q? Do we have a fact checker? Levi, do you Instagram your food?
No.
Why?
I haven't thought of it. I guess I could, but don't use my Instagram for that.
It's one of the joys in life.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you could post like quotes from C.S. Lewis, or you could Instagram your food.
Or both. I mean, best of both worlds,
yeah,
I guess.
I guess so. Number three, what is your middle name?
Francis.
Francis.
Yeah. Huh. With an I.
Is there another way to spell it?
With an E, which generally is the, like the, they say like there's a, like the feminine form is like with an E, F-R-A-N-C-E-S. But like Sir, you know, Francis Scott, Francis Bacon, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. Question number three. Is this number three? No, this is number four. When you fly on a plane, do you wear a neck pillow?
Yes.
You do.
I feel like that was curated for me.
No, it wasn't. I mean, this was just a random question up there.
Yes. No, the last time I flew to Texas was with my 4-year-old daughter, and I bought a neck pillow for either of us, and we wore it, and it was awesome.
It's amazing. All right. And then the last one for you is a nickname that your parents used to call you.
Oh. Well, so kind of a funny story. So I have a twin brother, Sam, who works here as well.
Also goes by the name of Sambo.
Yep. And many of you followers know. But so one kind of funny thing is that we were always referred to by both of our names, because usually if we did something wrong, it wasn't exactly clear which one of us did it. So it was always easier just for us both to get in trouble.
Okay.
So
I can follow this.
So it was never Levi or Sam. It was Levi and Sam. So my sister actually, for a while, she was only about a year older than us, always thought that our names were Levi and Sam. So kind of a funny story. So Levi and Sam is the nickname.
I just wanted to stare awkwardly at you to see where you went with that. So it was just calling you both at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of probably more out of convenience and the fact that we probably were both involved in some conspiracy anyway.
So wait a second. You have a twin brother?
Yeah,
it's crazy. Let's move along. Thank you very much for being here today.
My pleasure.
We talk about this all the time, and we have a lot. This whole Coffee Break podcast was originated based off of a lot of the conversations that we had. So it's always fun whenever you can take time out of your busy morning and busy schedule to come in and hang out. Topic of discussion today, I think, is very relevant in the small business realm, and that's about kind of workflow process improvement. Management, whatever. So I want to kind of start down that topic and really answer a lot of the questions, because this is something that I think that you do really well here.
Yeah.
And it's something that you've helped a lot with as you've been a part of the organization. So let's start out high level. What would we define as workflow, a workflow process? And is there variances of it, or is it, you know, so let's craft out kind of a definition of what we're going to talk about.
So, so I think to start with a concise definition of workflow management is really just basically it's a process that you develop to allow your work to flow smoothly or to improve your work. Just because in the process of working, you want to accomplish certain goals, certain projects, any job, you have something you want to accomplish, some function you want to serve. And there are ways that make it difficult and that cause more errors. And then there are ways that are easier to do it and that do it more efficiently. So to me, workflow management is simply finding that right flow, developing a process to improve the way that your work flows from point A to point B.
Okay. So. The first time that I was ever introduced to this concept was at a Medico Security Center conference several years back, and they kind of broke down the concept of taking a workflow. So whatever the process is of carrying this thing from this point to over there and all of the steps that happen in between. And then you can kind of take that and apply it to really anything that you do, if that's creating an invoice, if that's taking a call from a customer, if that's processing inventory, if it's a sales process, whatever. There's several steps along the way. So a workflow is a group of steps that get you to a certain end or certain goal. So with that said, what are I listed out a couple of questions here. Why is it important to understand that, and why is it important that you start being aware of that in your organizations?
Yeah, so I mean, the reason it's important really is just because it is I mean, it's really important in general in any process, anything you do. You kind of start out, there's this idea of refinement. You start out with something that's unrefined, something that is, you know, crude or rough, and it may get the job done, but generally it doesn't get the job done as well as it can be. There's always a sense in which something can be improved. So if there's a way in which something can improve, then you're currently operating at a worse level than you can be operating. And so the goal of any business that wants to improve, that wants to grow, as I think everyone wants to grow, wants to improve, your next step is figure out how. And I think that's why workflow management is important. It's basically every single person at this company and in any company is doing something that there's distractions, things that they're doing that are unnecessary. They're spending time on things that they shouldn't be spending time on, or they're doing things too quickly.
Yeah,
they're on autopilot and they need to be more intentional about it. And so workflow management is really the way of reflecting and saying, what can we do to improve that?
So it's kind of this concept that you start looking at every step in a process and trying to understand, are there duplicates? Yep. Are there unnecessary?
Yes.
You know, are we repeating the same process in multiple times throughout in various stages?
Mm-hmm.
So really kind of seeing it from an overall, like a high level view, mm-hmm. instead of just getting kind of caught up in the in the day-to-day process.
Yes.
So taking a very unique look at it, questioning every step, the validity, yep. of that process. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in that sense, where do you find value in this type of thing? So, you know, we kind of craft out what it is, mm-hmm. and then we say why it's important. Well, where's the value add, like, from an organization? Because this is time intensive. Yep. It oftentimes takes away from the current flow of mm-hmm. processes yeah. or the current progress that you're making. So now you have to stop. So where do you get value from it?
Yeah. So I think definitely the value comes from the end result of, you're generally going to be saving time and you're going to be improving proficiency. So that, I guess that would be the more general thing. I mean, there's so many different ways in which it could be applied. That there's sometimes where it may not be worth putting a ton of time into it if it's only going to save you 5 seconds a day.
Sure.
But there's so many areas that just by stopping and analyzing and reflecting, you realize that you're spending maybe an hour a day doing something.
Yeah.
That this process here or this automation here can improve that process and save you an hour a day. And that, especially if you pay your employees hourly, that the value is right there. Like, you're taking that hour that your employee is using to do this process. They've just eliminated that and they're now doing something else. So they've given you an hour of your time back of your, however much you're paying them. And then they're improving upon that. So, I mean, that's just one small example of, yeah. of how that value can be returned. It's just one of those things where you're getting more proficiency. You know, however the machine works better.
So there's something else on that note. And that's why I was just verifying it on here. This is all live action, right? But in season one, episode 12, we interviewed Greg Whitus from Diversified Robotics. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they look at that process from a workflow and they find ways to automate, mm-hmm. Not to reduce the workflow, but to increase efficiencies and yep. say, hey, this is something that takes a lot of manpower hours to do that yep. is the same exact thing. Like, yes. you have to click this same button yep. every single time, multiple yep. times a day. Can we eliminate that from yep. the process? So there's ways to automate some of those
yes.
Things, but again, you're getting value from that because mm-hmm. you're saying, okay, well, if we can clear up this process, then we've now gained 30 minutes back mm-hmm. or we've gained an hour back that yeah. we can now focus on this other value yeah. add proposition. So I'd say if I understand what you're saying correctly, the value add is the fact that you now have a better hold on mm-hmm. what you're doing. And so then you can bring that back into other components of your yes, organization.
Correct. Yeah. And I think with anything, there's certain things that are just monotonous, constant tasks. And then there's certain things that are very, very tasks that require skill or require that human element, the intuition. And honestly, I think, especially when you talk about automation, a lot of there's labor and there's skill.
Yeah.
And if you can take that labor and eliminate it with automation, you're actually investing more time into the skill.
Yeah.
And the skill improvement is really where the value is added there. If you can automate some process with you know, whether it be through programming or anything like that. So
I think we've crafted a definition of what it is. I think we've crafted a reason for doing it and value added in it. So yeah. let's get to, again, one of our challenges on this podcast and these videos that we do is, can we give practical, tactical application? Yeah. How can somebody that listens to this or watches this take something from it and run with it?
Yeah.
So how does it work? Well, like, what there's something in my business, there's something in my organization, whatever it is, maybe it's even something at home, you know?
Yeah.
What can I do to think through this process and create kind of a workflow for it?
Yeah, so kind of how I usually start is, and I, you know, have this acronym for it, that AIM, A-I-M. So it's analyze, implement, modify. Those are kind of the three stages I go through, and it always begins with chart it out, write it down, get a picture in your head. How does my workflow work? How does it currently work? And then when you have a picture of it, you can see, okay, what's important? What's the most important thing? What's the end goal?
Yeah.
And what's getting in the way? What's distracting? What's taking too long? And then once you figure out, once you analyze, you can figure out what's wrong. Then it's how do I fix it? That's the implementation.
All right. So on the analyze, let's get tactical on this. So draw it out, write it out. What does that mean? Is that how can we do that? I've seen it done in a lot of different ways. What's your typical go-to?
I'm a list and charts kind of guy. So, but to me, flowcharts always, especially with workflow, because obviously the whole point of a flowchart is your point A to point B, like we've been saying, and then all the points in between. That's what a flowchart always is. So for me, making a flowchart of this is where I begin, and even the smaller down you can go, the better, because that means you can improve on an even more molecular level. But starting wherever you begin with your job and then wherever you end, and then fill in all the gaps with everything you can.
So a couple of examples that I've seen, one we use around here, you know, it depends on what the process is. From a very tactical level, it's a dry erase marker on dry erase board. We have dry erase boards all throughout our offices in various forms. We've got a really big one in our meeting room. So it's taking the dry erase marker and just writing it out.
Yeah.
So you can erase and tweak and all that stuff. I've seen it done with post-it notes.
Yep.
Writing the task on the post-it note and sticking it on the wall so that you can move it around. And then in a digital form, if you have the one, the way that I've seen it to work really well is maybe take a dry erase marker and draw it out. Mm-hmm. So that you can adjust real fast, and then from that, take it into a digital form so that you have something actually to work off of. Yeah. It's a free website called draw.io, and it allows you to create any type of a workflow. There's a lot of other things you can do with it, but the thing we utilize it for a lot is I've seen you, seen Lucas use it from an application standpoint, from an app development standpoint, to draw out that workflow. Tweak and adjust.
And the benefit of the draw.io is that it syncs with your Google Drive. Most people have a Google Drive account. They keep their files on it. So that's a place where you can edit it, store it in the cloud, and then you can open it back up when you want to edit it again, and it makes it very accessible.
So the key facts with this is when you're doing the analyze, what are some tips and tricks, some things that people need to be mindful of? Like when you start writing out the process, is it like, you know, take a phone call and put in a work order? Like, are those the two processes, or how do you, like, to what level do you get detailed?
So I always try to start high level first and kind of get beginning to end, because you can also get distracted and go on these rabbit trails. So I always try to say, okay, first, where do I want to go? What is the end result? I think that's always the most important thing. If you don't have your end result in first, then you can end somewhere completely different. So, where am I trying to go? And then what's the first step to take to get there? So then you have the beginning and the end, and then you say, okay, what's the next step? What's the next step? And again, like, to me, having, multiple levels always helps. So it's like, what is the high level of, so for me, you know, obviously I want to take a customer's call and I want to put in a work order.
Yeah.
So the end result is work order. Beginning result is just answer the call. So where do I go from there? So I, you know, answer the call and then, you know, take the information down, submit the information. Then I have the work order. That's not all. There's more details in there of what do I say to the customer? What information am I getting from the customer?
There you go.
Where am I submitting it? How am I submitting it? And then I get to see kind of what's taking more time and what's taking less time.
So at a high level, you could start with, you know, two or three steps, and then each of those two or three steps, you may come out with another four or five steps. And then from each of those, you may come up with another couple on each of the, and now you have a detailed workflow.
Yes.
Then you can say, okay, well, you know, in your example here from taking a site visit, I have to ask the customer this information three times.
Yeah.
So if I captured it at the beginning, can it automatically copy it? That's where you get into improvement of the workflow process.
Yes.
But until you can't get to that point until you detail out everything you have.
Yeah, and like just as an example, one thing that we discovered with the customer service flow is that I was getting all this information on this big sheet, and then spending so much time splitting the information up and putting it on this part of the work order at the end,
yeah.
And it was like, if I can just get the information as I'm going, then it actually will help me, to improve the conversation and say, okay, here's the information I need from you now. Next step, here's the information I need from you now. So it actually helps me direct the conversation, and the customer is actually more confident that I'm not just scrambling around to repeat information.
Well, I think this is a very good example, and I've got a couple other questions that I want to get to. I think this is a very good example of where this is applicable. Okay, so in a previous life of our site visit, it was essentially a digital form. So imagine a digital form, and it had all of these fields on it, and at a point you had to go in and essentially sporadically fill in different blanks. The form was not set up to where you filled in the blanks in a certain order. It was, you might fill in something at the top and then the middle and then the bottom, and then you're bouncing back and forth. And what we were, the result we were having was inconsistent information. So you might forget to ask this question this one time and gather this information. And so what you did from that is you took that process that was that was there and said, okay, let's think about it from a grander scheme and think through a more logical order. So instead of me asking this question here, like the address of where we need to go at the top and then what we need to do at the bottom and then coming back and filling in here, now you're asking those questions in order and you're filling it out in order, shortening the time of the call, creating more of a consistent information, getting the right information every on a more consistent basis.
And I think one thing we noticed was that because we were getting all the information at once, we were on autopilot. So before the person even was giving us the answer that we asked for, like, you know, what's your name, what's your number, what's your company, we were already in the next part trying to fill out the address and typing it in. So not only were we not paying attention, but we weren't even putting in the right information. So the flow also that we developed helped us to say, okay, step one, get the number, get the name. And so we're focused on that. We're intentional about that. Step two, now get this information. So now we're actually doing it step by step, and it makes it, again, each one has to be intentional. And it actually saves us time, which you don't think so if you're just doing it step by step, but it actually saves us time because we're focusing on that one step, and it improves our consistently getting the right information and putting it in the site visit. So
that's a practical application. So that was a something that we actually did here, that you did here. So how long does this take? Workflow processing or workflow management, how long does that take? Is it something you can sit down and knock out in 15, 20 minutes? Is it a 2 or 3 day affair? What is the process?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really depends on the size and scope of what your workflow is. I would definitely say, and also largely depends on how many people are involved in that workflow, because one big, huge piece is, if it's just you, you can sit down in 10 minutes and probably figure it all out. If it's 10 people, that's going to take a meeting, sitting down. I mean, I know we've had for the things that involve our whole team. It's an affair for sure. So it takes some time of discussing, getting on the same page. But that's a huge part of it. So
you're back to the analyze part. I mean, some of that can take, the analyze portion of it can take anywhere from, if it's just one process that you're working on independently versus one that is a collaborative effort, sometimes that may take several meetings and several days.
Yes, correct. And so it just kind of depends, but definitely, and even then, like, as far as, that's just one phase of it. Obviously, I think there's just a continual process improvement. So really, workflow management is something that you want to always be doing. But as far as getting something accomplished, it doesn't take long at all. It can be even just a small 10 minutes. You can do it for one small process. But just keep pressing forward with it.
So analyze is the A. I is implement. Mm-hmm. So we've analyzed, we've got the list out. Yep. Now we're going to implement something.
So yes, so implement is basically the plan of action after that. So obviously we figured out this is our workflow. This is what's wrong. So how do we fix it? How do we get it right? And so that basically has to do with first, you just drew out what it is.
Yep.
Now draw out what it needs to be. Write down, document, chart, however, a plan of action. And then, of course, the other part of the implement phase is do it, actually test it out, make it work. So for the example of the customer service flow, it was first, you know, draw out what our workflow is, figure out what can go away, what needs to be there, how to make it better. And then it was develop that flow and then use it and then just put it into our system and then start answering calls and testing it out.
So let me ask you a question on this, because this is something that I think maybe people struggle with whenever they start looking at changing a process or workflow management or any of the things that we're talking about, whatever you want to call it, is you analyze this and now you implement it and it doesn't work how you think it's going to work when you start. How long do you stick with it versus how do you when you abandon it, and what is the mental hurdle that you have to get through once you start implementing this process, because it's different?
I think that's kind of a part of it, is really a lot of the implementation isn't just you have an end goal of having something that works. But really a huge part of workflow management is that you're not just doing it to make sure you do something that works, but you're doing it to see if it does work. So you're not always going to analyze, figure out a plan, and then it's perfect. In fact, 90% of the time you'll analyze, figure out a plan, find holes in the plan, and then you have to ask yourself, why is it not working? Is it not working just because the entire thing is horrible and we need to start over? Or is it not working because this small thing needs to be tweaked? So in and of itself, you have to, so really that's the whole process. It's a cycle of analyze, implement, and then make a change based on it, and then do it again, analyze again, implement again. That it's really just constantly reflecting, constantly, you know, never get to the point where you think, oh, it's perfect, I don't need to change it. That's when your workflow management will eventually get clunky and cause distractions.
One of the things that's interesting about all of this stuff is you get into a process, and this is, I think, a hard thing when you talk about workflow process improvement, is that you can oftentimes get stuck and feel like, you know what, we're not making any progress, or it's still not right.
Yeah.
It's still not good. And we had this conversation yesterday of you have to oftentimes step back and go, okay, maybe we're not exactly perfect yet with it, but let's reflect back on where we started from and measure the gap between where we were and where we are.
Yeah,
because I think, and I could be wrong on this, but I think that there's always going to be a little bit of a leading gap of where you are and where you want to be. Because you're always, we're always improving, right? So you're constantly trying to get better. So that bar is going to move. It's going to elude you every step of the way. So you're having to assess, analyze, and implement again and see where you made it. So it's very important to look back on the progress that you made before. We reflect on that a lot around here because the first ever digital work order management, thing that we did was literally, a form that was, 60 fields, and they were all free form. You had to type in every single one of them, and it took forever to fill out a site visit. And now we move to there's 20 fields, and half of them are automated, and you type in a couple of keystrokes, and it pops up, whatever the most relevant result is, and you boom, boom, boom. So if you measure it from 2007 to 2019, there's a lot of progress. Are we perfect yet? No, we still have some things that we're trying to work out, but we've made some significant strides along that way.
Yeah, I think Aristotle's golden mean, says that basically where you want to be is not on the opposite side of where you don't want to be. Where you want to be is actually always the balance between two extremes. So the two extremes here that you want to avoid is if you think that you've arrived and that you're perfect, then you need to avoid that because then you're not improving anymore because you have to recognize you're never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
So, but at the other end, the other extreme is if you think that you can't strive for perfection. then you've reached the other. So mm-hmm. one extreme is, both extremes are you're being stagnant. One because you think you have nothing to improve, and the other one because you think you don't have the ability to improve.
Yeah.
But the real balance there that we have to remind ourselves so we don't get discouraged is, you're never going to be perfect. So don't get discouraged if you mess up. Just continue moving forward. But you're always going to be able to change something and make yourself better. So never stop aiming for that goal.
Yeah.
But also never think that you've arrived.
I literally this morning, I was listening to a podcast, Donald Miller Story Brand. I've been following the podcast for a while, and he was talking about in 2018, he had some goals. He had a business goal of reaching a certain plateau of revenue.
Yeah.
He had a physical goal of trying to be at 190 pounds, and he had a personal challenge to go to the gym, a habit challenge. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get himself to the gym more regularly, so he didn't want to say he was going to go every day. He said he wanted to go 52 times, so once a week over the course of the year. And he was just shy of his revenue goal for his business by like a couple $100,000. He didn't meet his weight goal of 190 pounds. He was like 202 pounds or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he started out the year at 230 pounds. So he didn't quite meet his goal, but he made progress towards it.
Yeah.
And then his going to the gym, creating that habit, he went 120 times instead of 52 times.
Mm.
So what his whole point of that was, you know, you can sometimes get discouraged when you're talking about improving.
Yes.
Because you set a goal. Well, we want to do this. Hey, we want to reduce the call time on a when a customer calls in for a site visit.
Yeah.
So we got to get this process better.
Yeah.
And maybe we didn't hit that actual time frame, but we made progress towards it. And so you have to mark your progress when you're doing workflow improvement. You got to mark your progress towards it, even though you may not actually hit it.
Yeah.
And then look at it and go, hey, we made progress.
Yeah.
All right. What are some other tweaks that we can do to get there?
Yeah.
Right. Don't give up on the goal. The goal can be overwhelming at times, and it can be discouraging if you don't meet it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're never striving for that, then you're not. You become stagnant, right? You're falling off improvement.
Yeah, it's just like we were talking about yesterday. There were things that we had not accomplished yet, and we were kind of hitting a roadblock there.
Yeah.
But then when we looked at the past 6 months, that conversation hadn't even started. So the changes that had been made since then were tremendous changes. So the fact that there was a roadblock here we weren't even on that road.
Yeah.
And so always remember where you've been as you're looking to where you're going.
Yeah. With your permission, I want to dive into that for like 3.5 minutes because I want to be very specific in that because I don't want to approach that vague. I think I think that will help some people.
Yeah.
So Levi and I were having a conversation yesterday. He was expressing some frustration about we were not making progress in a certain area. We had plotted out, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago to have a dedicated same-day service technician.
Yeah.
And we made some progress in it, and then it kind of fell off for a multitude of different reasons. It kind of fell off and got sidetracked. And so he was expressing some frustration of we hadn't really implemented it the way that we wanted to.
Yeah.
And the conversation was, but 8 months ago, we didn't even have the concept of the same day technique. So we've made progress towards it.
Yeah.
So let's be frustrated that we haven't satisfied it yet. But there's a certain level that we can't be frustrated with because this is a whole new problem to solve.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that said, this is, I don't know, a couple years ago in one of our Wednesday morning meetings, a challenge is not something that's negative. It's just an opportunity to succeed.
Yeah.
An opportunity to improve.
Sounds like a brilliant guy.
it's kind of taking that concept into place of always monitoring where you are
because
you're making improvement. If you ever stop making improvement, then that's a whole nother situation.
Yes.
Monitoring that forward momentum.
Yeah, and I think the frustration comes about. You know, even if you know, hey, you know, we're always improving, but the frustration comes about when the situation gets to a point where you're kind of blinded to where you've been,
yeah,
like where you've come from.
Sure, yeah.
So, and I think that happens a lot, even in life. You know, you get hit by a situation, and your vision becomes cloudy, and so you're like, I'm never going to get to this point. But then you realize, you know, if you really think and ask yourself questions and reflect, oh, look how far I've come.
Yeah.
And somehow I don't think I'm going to get to here. You know, I'm not there now. But one day I'll be there and thinking about the next thing. So, but the problem is if we close our eyes to where we've been, we lose sight of that, and it helps us. It keeps us from continuing to push forward to our goals.
I think we'll close on that note, because okay, that's very valid thought, and I like that. When it comes to process improvement, that's something you have to be mindful of. Make sure you reflect where you came from, and the progress that you've made, even though you haven't necessarily gotten to where you want to go.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your time today, Levi. It's been an awesome conversation, as always. Thank you very much for your input on that. Those of you who are listening or watching for the first time, you know, our goal here is to bring valuable tactical content for our listeners and our viewers, and that's part of what we're trying to do today. These are some applications that we have done in our business, and that we have tried to grow with and to develop. And so we want to try to help share that with you. If you are listening, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, because we do have a new episode every Tuesday. We record it live on Facebook at 9 a.m., and then we upload it shortly thereafter on all the podcast platforms. You can subscribe by going to lockdoc.net/podcast/subscribe, or you can just get there by going to lockdoc.net/podcast. We'll probably need to shorten that up, don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
Well, we need to talk to somebody about that. But anyways, if you wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, any of those, you can go listen. We have 22 episodes now online that you can go listen and see kind of what our path has been since the beginning. And we encourage you to do that. Every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m., Coffee Break Live. We record that on Facebook, and then obviously it's uploaded. So check us out, lockdoc.net/podcast. Thank you very much for your time today, and really look forward to hearing from you. If you have any questions or want to connect with us, there is the place to do it on our website. Until next time, hey, next week, our guest is North Carolina Senator Carl Ford. He'll be right there in that seat, probably destroying everything in this room. So look forward to that next week. Make sure you join us for that. Until next time, have a great day. To learn more about the topics discussed today and to connect with us online to hear all of the episodes available, visit lockdoc.net/podcast.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
The Coffee Break Podcast is brought to you by LockDoc Security. We'd love to connect with you online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Just search LOCDOCINC.